Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Hour of Truth, such as it is. I have Phil Walthall on my right, Brad Capso on my right, and James Uther out there in left field. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, what's up?
Good morning. It reminded me of your saying, you know, Sam just did not want to cooperate. I was talking to the customer. It's kind of, it reminded me, I was talking with the customer, and yeah, the computer's freezing up or something. I said, yeah, as long as I could get this computer, I can get you a price here. And she goes, oh, I understand. I said, yeah, and it's not the, you know, it's not my fault. It's the computer's fault.
Yeah, it's not my fault.
It's not the operator here.
Everybody's fault but mine.
And she laughed. She goes, oh, I understand. In a joking way, because both of us sounded like we're not computerly computer-skilled.
You don't have
skilled,
books. You know? Like, if your computer's crashed, you don't have a second, you know, like a backup where you can go through a book.
I do, but usually you can fix it. By the time you go grab the book and you do all that, you can close it down, reboot it back up. And
I don't have books for my stuff where I work.
More accurate price and availability kind of thing than saying, what do we have, and that kind of thing. As far as that goes.
I just called Charlie, Phil.
Yeah, well, there's this guy named Bill Wasner that I can just call and I'm having an issue with this computer, move to the next one. That's open as far as that goes, because we've got many setups as far as that goes. But
I was joking.
No, I hear you. I mean, I literally do have a guy.
I call Ricky. Call Linda. You know, she's local.
But praise the Lord. I mean, James, what'd you get out of service today, brother?
Well, what Rick was talking about is very important aspect of serving the Lord if you are going to truly serve the Lord. He started in Genesis 22, I believe. But talking about, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in every part of our life, if we say we love the Lord and yet we don't do what he tells us to, we're a liar. You know, he brought it out, and you know, with his daughter or our children or our wife. Just, I mean, if we say we love, if Rose says she loves me but doesn't do what I tell her to, she's a liar. If I say I love the Lord and I don't do what he tells me to, I'm a liar.
Yeah, and there's another part about that in that sense too, where there's another part where you don't trust them or believe them either, because a lot of times when, you know, whatever it is that's given it to us to do, we say it's too much. I mean, we can make every excuse in the book to not to. It could be just the point that we don't believe he'll see us through. I mean, how many times we look, that's impossible. That can't happen. You know, I mean, there's no way I can do that. And there is no way that I, in myself, can do those things. But the Lord is well able. And he's equipped me to do that because he's well able in these things. And a lot of times we don't do as we says, because we count what we hold, we believe our own lie in this sense. I mean, we believe our own, how we go about doing something is a better way than his. And we don't believe them or trust them in that way, as well, as the lack of love for him. You know, I mean, because, you know, just take Abraham for an example there. And, you know, what if Abraham turned around and said, hey, Lord, you telling me to kill my son? Then this won't work. Then the promise is not true.
It was a hard promise.
Right. I mean, then the promise was not true that it would be through Isaac. And so, no, I'm not going to do that. That'd be him not loving him, not believing him at his word, not trusting that he was going to perform that which he said he was going to do.
And not good for Isaac either, because I mean, Abraham didn't know it, but if that was Isaac's destiny, then it would have been wrong to do something else.
But in Hebrews, we have it clearly that he knew the promise was through Isaac, and God would have to raise him from the dead because he said it, so he believed him to that point.
I could look at that, you know, if you don't follow the word, I mean, that's a highly negative thing. I don't have to look very deep to see that so often that's the case in my life. But that took me to John 8. I'll start in 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I wish that was the case. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if we continue in his word, then, you know, the old if then, if we continue in his word, then we're his disciples indeed. And then, having done his word, then we know the truth, and he shall set us free. And that's what we're shooting for.
And you see, you see on in times past, I mean, one of the things that I was highlighting, you don't believe them or trust them. And you see the men of faith, which they believed God, they trusted God in this sense. Okay, let's take the first generation for an example. You had Joshua and Caleb that right. believed the promise of God. So yeah. that's why they were ready to go take the promised land, because they believed the promise of God. The others didn't believe or trust God at all, because they said they were giants, and they believed that report rather than Josh and Caleb's. You see where Abraham, I use that example. You seen with Sarah, and you actually look in Hebrews, you got that list. They believed God, they trusted God,
was it Joshua or Caleb? He had to believe God in the long term, because those two came back and said, "Oh man, this is great. Let's go take it." And the other people shut him down. It was either Joshua or Caleb. This is 40 years later. By now, he's 80. So he went through the wilderness and did the whole thing. And then he said, I'm still well able to go and do this. He was an old, old man.
God gave me that mountain. I am well able. Yeah. And, you know, he didn't operate in his strength.
No.
I'm reading David some, and you see where David didn't operate in his own strength. When it came and I got to this one point where he took the spear, Saul's spear, when they were sleeping, it said, and the Lord put them in a deep sleep.
Could have had it.
And the Lord put him, and he took that cruise of water and that spear in that sense. But it's just like when it comes down, I was using that an example this morning. We were talking about there's one trash can, or there's one.
Yeah, the trash can and the ornament.
The trash can and ornament. One said ornament, one other said trash can. And I was using that example as that ornament. I mean, look, I mean, if you believe and just do that because you believe and trust God, and because and using that as an example, because if we know he is good and he is light and in him is no darkness at all, we're not going to ask. We're just going to go and do. That's exactly what Abraham did.
Well, the Southerners had an old song, farther along we'll know more about it, farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, we'll understand it all by and by. You know, live in the sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by. And if it's like you're teaching your kid, don't touch that hot stove, you know, it's going to burn you. If he could just believe it, he could skip what most of us went through, which is how you really learn that the stove is hot by touching the thing. This stuff is for our good, even like in John 8, you know, people misquote that verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, that's a true statement, but it's prefaced with the statement, you got to do what I told you to do. At that point, you'll know, after you've done what I told you to do. And very often, that doing the right thing happens, it's an act of faith, because you don't necessarily understand why it's the right thing or why you're being told to do it. Well, sounds good on a radio show, but, you know, when you're in the thick of it, that can be kind of a tough pill to swallow, you know?
Well, so many times we look at and then the unbelief hits us. There's a question here that says, were Joshua and Caleb second generation Israelites from Egypt? I think they were first generation, I believe, and I could be wrong, and somebody can correct me if I am, but I believe that actually Joshua and Caleb was from that first generation, but they were the ones that believed from that first generation, and that's why they went into the promised land with the second generation.
Yeah, after the 4 years. They were there on the Exodus from Egypt, and they were there when they got to the promised land, and the children said no.
Well, because you see very clearly that Joshua was a disciple unto Moses. I mean, it was like he was beside him.
Yeah, he was a servant. Joshua was Moses' servant.
Absolutely, absolutely. It would be kind of like Luke to Paul in his ministry.
Couldn't shake the guy loose.
Right, exactly. But there was another point that I was bringing. I was thinking of before I hit the question. I forgot. But
what was the question?
Well, no, after that question. There was another point, but I forgot. You were talking about being in the thick of it. Because a lot of times our focus, we rely on ourselves to get through a lot of things more than believing God and his ability to trump this situation and to go through that which he commanded us to do. We really focus on our inabilities, or we count so much on our abilities to overcome and accomplish. Well, either or, it's both wrong. But we really do. I mean, you know, I looked at situations and challenges and face in front of me. So many times I say, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And the reason why I'm saying I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that, because of distrust and unbelief. Is distrust and unbelief, and I'm looking at my ability, my strength to carry me through that challenge which is in front of me to do, and it's not based on that at all. And where you enter into his rest, you're resting in his ability, his strength to do that, and not by making your flesh somehow well able. No, you just know and understand God is well able. And if he's put that in front of you to do, you can do it. You can do it.
He's called you to success.
Because he called you to succeed that. But you don't rest in your ability, which makes it so sweet. You rest in his.
I could look at it at work. I'll have, I'm kind of on the low end of the technical spectrum as far as understanding things about what my shop does. You know, we make housings for analog brakes. And the reason I went there is I'll have something comes up and the question is this housing or housings, are they okay to use? Well, in my own self, I don't know that. But I've got some very, very experienced, sharp guys that work with me that do know that. And on a spiritual side, I hit a wall. I hit a question. I don't know. And I know the Lord can show me. I also know that when he ascended on high, he gave me gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And you see where this is going. I can pick up the phone. I can come knock on your door. You know, I can. It's not like he's just going to miracle me into the right thing. He might. But a lot of times he's given me a path. He's given me the resources around me. If I'll just choose to use them, and then I can get the right answers, and either way he's glorified.
Amen. Or sometimes the situation is gets how the Lord handles the situation is not in our mind at all, how that is going to happen. And it might be, you know, let's say for an example, you got the situation work, you have no idea how to handle it. You don't know how this is going to work out, how it played out, but you just choose to trust him in the midst of it, to serve him in the midst of it. And what will happen is something will happen from left field where, you know, it might be one of the other guys gets the wisdom to handle the situation or the problem at hand.
I can tell you this happens normally.
And you're like, wow, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for breaking me
through. Thank you, God.
Might not have might have used you at all in the midst of that, in that sense.
And I could point out that when this stuff's going on at work, it's like, these are brake parts, man. I mean, it's a big, big deal. It's huge. And, you know, you're talking about sometimes the answer coming back. We had PE a couple of times a week here, and the crowds of kids are large. You know, I thank the Lord for that. And we had, like, little kid glitches. Thing, you know, kids act like kids. And so Lisa was going, oh, man, I don't know how that's going to work out. But the solution that was offered was, well, you've got more kids than eyes on them. What we need here is essentially an assistant coach. We need more eyes on the field, which, all honesty, is not something that had crossed either of our minds. We'd been kicking this around like, you know, how do we do this? And I realize this sounds like a simple thing, but, I mean, that's the answer of God, a very simple solution. You need more concerned eyes on a large group of kids. And that kind of thing right there, you know, I guess there were a number of us that saw that there had to be a better way to do it, but we didn't know.
I just got word of it last week in one of the things.
Small thing.
It really is. I mean, but praise God, there's a solution. I think, and it seemed like a solution to a lot of parents and concern with some of these things. And Angie, and they're just like, well, praise God. I mean, we're talking about that better way that he has for us. And there, that better way presented itself. And, I mean, all we can do is stand back and say, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it just came right down.
Didn't come down like a bolt of lightning or the Red Sea parted.
Came right down through the line of authority and got resolved. And I mean, praise God. And that's why you present these things that's why you bring things to the light. That's why you bring things to the light. There's a part of responsibility where we bring things to the light. You know, I was talking about bringing things to the light, this past week when talking to Steve. And the answer's always been it's been a good, a relief. I mean, and we sit back so many times in our own ability and our own strength, kind of going back to that a little bit, and just wringing our hands and going, man, what do we do? And, you know, all these things when it's so simple. You bring them to the Lord. I mean, it's not news, but there's a hesitantness in this, and sometimes we don't want the light shined on us.
Oh, that's where I was going. I called Charlie last night for my Saturday call. Divulge some things about myself I wouldn't want on a billboard. That'll work. And, you develop trust with people. I know early on talking to Charlie, I really didn't know the man very well. Vaguely. But now I know if I go to him, I mean, for you that matter, Philip or Paul, I may not like what I hear, but I know you're not going to just, like, kick me. You know, kick me into play, maybe, but not just kick me.
Your best interest is at heart. And I mean, really, you got the one who's watching over it all is Jesus.
Jesus Christ, that's right.
I mean, so even if it was wrong advice, but you obeyed in the sense of you follow that advice with a trust and faith in the Lord, the Lord's going to honor that.
Yeah, I was thinking more about it from the standpoint of maybe they don't really know what a sorry wretch I am, although I'm guessing at this point.
Right. No, and I'm seeing the point you're highlighting. And I get that. It's like,
it's embarrassing.
I don't really want to tell Steve where I've been at. What kind of things I've been kind of frustrated.
Contemplating.
And, you know, and but that's, I mean, it's all good. I mean, what do you get? I mean, most of the, I understand. Right away about going doing it. Here's a better way. But it's kind of like going to the Lord. When we go to the Lord's with certain things, we're going to the Lord. It's no newsflash how we are to him. Most of the time, it's a newsflash to us how we are.
I like what Paul talks about. You can't disappoint him. Trust me, he's got the goods on you from the jump, right?
And I mean, you know, praise the Lord. But the other aspect of this as well, I forget what I was hitting on.
I interrupted you.
Sorry.
You're talking about letting your...
It's a win-win. You can't disappoint him and you can please him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's good news.
You know, and the pleasing is really a simple thing. You just agree with him. When that way comes down to you, what he has down, you just agree with him.
Christ himself, it was toward the end of his ministry, I believe it says that Jesus committed himself to no man, for he knew what was in the heart of man. And the men it was talking about were the 11, the faithful. You know, he committed his well-being to his Father. So he had no grand illusion about who he was dealing with, and likewise with us. And that's what's cool, definitely on a discipleship, which to me is a coaching. If I was referring to Charlie to somebody outside the fellowship, I refer to him, excuse me, as my discipleship coach. And that's what I see. You know, he coaches me in a better, more correct way. And I don't, I've learned over the last year plus, it's cool. I can pretty much bring up what I want to, what I think I ought to, and I'm going to get not just answer, I mean, maybe not sympathy, but yeah, I understand. You know, that's usually what it comes back with.
You're going to get what you need. And, you know, and yeah. It comes down to all good things come down from the Father of lights is because the Lord is good. And see, in him is light and there's no darkness at all. And we can trust that. And we can trust him. 100% totally trust him and count on Jesus Christ. Regardless who it comes from or whatever the case may be, because he's good and he loves his people.
Brad, when you're talking, you start out low and you tail off to inaudible.
I need to stay in the mic.
So you need to, you know, really project when you talk. Not moving any of the levels over there.
Yes, it shall be done.
So there you go.
Mo better.
Something you can look at while you're talking. If you don't see all that action up there, it's not working.
Man, I was looking for deep spiritual insight, and what I get is an audio level complaint.
Well, we got a lot of complaints about being able to hear you, and I can't hear you, and that's a bigger problem. I need to be able to hear you, too. So there you go.
We'll do better.
Praise God. We need to adjust. We need to adjust. I mean, that's what happens, isn't it? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
adjusting
exactly right.
To a better way.
That's right.
I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. It's a good thing. I mean, praise
now
God.
Now I'm self-conscious. James,
even if the
don't let me cut you out of there, buddy.
Even if the adjustment has to happen on the fly during the broadcast.
I mean, amen. Praise God. But look, James, what do you... You have something there?
Well, going back to what you were... on, you know, when you, it may have been Brad, but when you call your disciple and you don't want to really say everything that's going on.
Yeah, every Saturday night.
That's where we need to be entirely humble, because it's pride that keeps us from saying everything.
Right, we don't want to be exposed for who we are.
Correct.
But really, and really what's going on there, James, is you're not hurting anybody when you don't do that. You're not hurting anybody except yourself.
Yourself. Absolutely.
Because, or the people you minister to, you know, your family, because you're not getting all the advice that you need to go forward, because it's for your growth. And it's all that is for your growth in him to succeed in him and what he has you to succeed in. And it really,
oh, amen.
And it just hurts you when you hide from that light. It just hurts you. It doesn't help you at all. And yeah. Really, we got a father that understands. I mean, I don't think I've talked once to Steve or other people, in the ministry, about certain situations that were over me at the times that were like, I can't believe you're that way.
I've never had that come
back. It's usually, I understand, but this is what's going on and there's a better way. I understand though. I have the same struggle, or I have struggled with that myself.
Yeah, he gets it. And, you know, yeah,
far from condemnation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I understand. I've been there. Gone through that same stuff myself.
Usually when the hard corrections come is when you're withholding and it's being prodded out. That's when it's kind of gets a little bit more.
Or you're just unaware.
Or unaware. Would you hand me my Bible there? It was a funny thing this morning. I got two mics going on. It was a funny thing this morning. But I wanted to talk to Brad after service, and he says to me, should I be... Am I scared? And I said, I don't know.
But
you
I
don't
was.
Have to, you don't have to be.
I didn't have to be.
You didn't have to be. And one of the things is, it kind of made me think of Romans a little bit. Romans 13, a little bit.
Yeah, I nodded, but I didn't get the reference.
you know, praise God. But was any of those things, I mean, once again, those were all pretty profitable things we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a pleasant way to spend some time. And you know, while you're pulling that up, we're talking about, yeah, you know, your discipler will normally come back with, yes, I understand, or I've been there. And you got Christ not committing himself to his own disciples for his own well-being because he understood what was in him. And then in Hebrews, talks about how we have a priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities because he's been tempted in all ways like as we are. And when he took the sin of mankind on his shoulders at Calvary, it's not just that he's been tempted. He understands the weight of that sin that's ours because he carried it. And that's why we can go to him with confidence as a great high priest, coupled with the fact that he said that he's meek and lowly in heart. Now, his desire is for our good. And he's going to come back with, you know, answers, not just beat us down, which may be a lot different than what we've experienced along the way. And that's, I think, part of what makes it, well, for myself, it might make me a little bit reluctant to go to him with some of this stuff.
But that's bringing yourself to light. I mean, what does it say in John? John says and maybe I should turn there, but I do want to hit 13 a little bit. But, James, you know, I mean, you have times past where you brought situations up to your discipler and hard situations, tough situations. And, you know, how many times has it been for your benefit, you know, for your family, for those around you, for you? I mean, because the Lord loves you, you know. How many times has that happened, James?
Well, it's always been that way, Phil.
That's exactly right.
Consistent.
And like exactly. You were saying, Brad, you know, the thing, even if your discipler hasn't been in that situation or had to deal with that, the Lord knows exactly what's going on, and he's there speaking for him. So whether he's had that situation or not, it really doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Because the Lord knows what you need to hear, and he's going to give it to him to speak
Absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely. And see, that's how the Lord set it up. He set up that line of authority. For a reason. So even if you have, just like you were saying there, that discipler might not have been through the same thing and had the same experience or that struggle, whatever the case may be. But the Lord, like you said, the Lord's been tempted in every way.
Yeah.
You know, it's us that doesn't understand. He understands. And because he loves you and wants to minister unto you, he's going to give that discipler that sound advice for your good. Because in him is what? Light and no darkness at all.
No shadow of turning, no variableness. The same all the time.
Absolutely. And how many times has that been the case with you, Paul?
Couple.
All the time.
Here or there?
All the time. And you go and you talk to Davey and it's been a relief.
Yeah.
Been a relief. I've witnessed many times of being here and Davey even talking to both of us and tears coming down our eyes of relief and a relief and a load off.
Yeah,
it's always been about grace being ministered and mercy and just a real love and concern, love of God. It's not. You know, even when it's been, what were you thinking? You know, it's still the end of it all is still release.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a better way. Yeah. And it's kind of one of those things where I remember I was talking and that's the other point. Now it's came back up. Praise God. But it's one of those things where you go about being just obedient to the Lord, not asking why, but just going obedient. And you might not know why, or it might not make sense, but, you know, you trust the Lord, you go do it. And then what happens is above and beyond what you can think is going on there and how it's turned to be a blessing for not just you, but for others. And it's a abundantly you can above you can ask or think is what happens with just simply being obedient. You know, I mean, and you know, look at Abraham.
Part of that whole discipleship relationship is about learning to be obedient. You know, it's a win-win. If your discipler advises you incorrectly, but you're obedient, you both get blessed. He gets corrected by the Lord, and you get blessed for being obedient.
He gets blessed too.
That's what I said.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. He gets blessed too. I want to highlight that because look at Sarah. And I just want to use some references. Look at Sarah.
Yeah.
Where
about when she laughed?
Where she she obeyed Abraham.
Oh.
Okay, when they went and says, tell him you're my sister. He's seen that the really? Land did not fear God. Say, so tell him you're my sister. And the king took her to wife. He gets cursed, but she was obedient. And both Abraham was blessed out of that,
Sarah.
And so was Sarah. And God remained faithful. And all of the other thing, it just remained, God was faithful to his promise to Abraham. Whoever will curse thee, I will curse them. And whoever will bless thee, I will bless them. And a whole amount, Sarah's obedience in that was a blessing and a confidence builder for Abraham when it was time to go offer up Isaac. And you know that above, abundantly above you can ask or think?
Yeah.
What did God, when he offered up Abraham, when he offered up Isaac, he provided the ram. It says in Hebrews that God would have to raise him from the dead. He didn't know he was going to bring a lamb in.
Right.
But it's abundantly above he can ask or think. The promise and the gospel being delivered right there to Abraham in fullness to Abraham.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul said he received.
Yeah, it was all theory until God said, well, there. You know, don't put your hand to the child, to whatever he said. It was at that point when the ram came wandering out. That's when Abraham knew.
Yeah, it was off the hook as far as having to kill him.
And it was also the sign that that God was going to bring his son to take the place. And it was a promise to all. I mean, praise God. And he understood that. So above you can ask or think is what ended up happening. Just kind of, I mean, when you were talking about even when it didn't make sense or whatever the case may be, but just being obedient because God in him is light and there's no darkness at all. My headphones keep falling off. I don't know why, but praise God. But I wanted to hit this point that you brought up there, Brad. One of the things is, but he that, and this is John 3. We can go 19 through 21 is kind of what I'll read. And it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. And that's that part. That's that old man. That's that part of that old man that you don't want to really talk on Saturday. Or I don't want to call Steve and tell him what I've been struggling with. Or maybe you don't want to, you know, whatever the case may be. That's that old man trying to keep you from getting, receiving good things from the Father.
Now, if you look at it like that, just opening up is definitely a step forward in faith.
Absolutely. You're not holding back anything. You're not lying to yourself. You're not holding back anything from the Lord. He said, you're coming to him honest and open. You're not hiding anything. You're not trying to put on that fig leaf. What do you have to offer? Nothing but Jesus. But I want to carry on. It says, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth what? Truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. That be made manifest that they are wrought in God. See, that's where you do with truth. That's where you decide with the new man to go talk to Charlie. All right? And that's where you get blessing. That's where you get, you just, it's always been a blessing. Even if it's correction, it's still love and a blessing. Don't touch that. That's hot. Good. I'm glad I was told that, because I would have burnt myself.
One thing I can say without equivocation
as if talking to Charlie blesses you, the Lord's good.
Poor Charlie.
The Lord is definitely good.
And you're talking about getting blessed.
That goes with any one of us, really.
It sure does.
How about just getting a load off? You know, anything that's plaguing you? And I'm talking about in between the ears, man. That's where it stinks the worst, usually. Anything that helps take that load off. I'm talking about getting a light shined on something.
You know, and, you know, you look at Jesus when he washed the disciples. That made me think of that. Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And here I give you an example. He washed his feet to keep them wet. Because his feet gets dirty out there in the world.
Feet hit the world.
And that's what the disciples do. That's what his disciples do for us. We got a disciple. That's what they do. Wash
our feet.
Get that stuff knocked off, man. And that's essentially what's going on. You're talking about getting the load off, getting rejuvenated, getting a better way than the way we've been going. And it's all for us to take heed to. It is up to us to make the choice to take heed to it, believe God, trust him for it. There is a responsibility of making the choice.
Well, you
got to
say yes.
It's Jesus' way of, you know, making his yoke easy and his burden light.
Amen.
And it's a reset. It's a reset. And sometimes it's, even when you don't think you need it, it's the best thing that comes your way.
So he said he would work in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. And that's part of the outworking of that thing. I mean, if it came down to it, my will as a guy is probably not much different than it ever was. I mean, that's the flesh. Just, you know, Davey said, I just try not to pay it much mind. There's something to that. What you hunting for?
Him is light in the darkness. So I'm turning back. I want to turn to John to read that because I was afraid I was going to mess it up. Or I knew I would mess it up. I'd say afraid it was. But
oh, you're in Romans.
Romans 13, but it was interesting. You had that one thing. It was like, am I afraid? And I was like, I don't know. Are you? You don't have to be if that's what you're looking for.
But I was.
Let every soul be subject. In Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. You know, saying the higher powers because it's the line of authority. It's the way he is. I mean, you see Paul, there was nothing significant about Paul. He was the chief of sinners.
Yeah, as a man.
As a man, he was the chief of sinners, as he professed to be. But one thing is, it was the anointing that he carried was something to be subject to.
Well, let me ask you, kind of rhetorical, but doesn't it strike you as a correct thing? If you look at me and you say, Brad, I got to talk to you. Does it strike you as the right thing that I ought to maybe go like, oh? And what that's rooted in, and I realize I got a kid your age, almost, but you're still over me. You're still over me. And if you tell me something, you have my ear. You know me well enough to know that I may not pull through like I should, but do you see what I'm asking?
Right.
I think it's a correct thing to...
No, I don't think that's a bad thing, because the thing is you want to have a healthy fear of the Lord.
There you go.
A healthy fear of the Lord. And that's a good thing. And it's not that you're scared of...
No, the Lord's good.
Right.
You're good to me.
You're not scared of me, Philip, the man. I mean, you know, I'm a sinner and an idiot and got myself in all kinds of troubles. But the Lord is good, and he just is. It is the Lord's good.
You're Philip the Evangelist. You're the head of the South Carolina ministry. When you tell me something, you have my ear.
I hear you. Well, praise God. But it says, and two, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And I was talking about this a little bit this morning, because where you get that right way from the Lord, you get that correction from the Lord, and it all comes from him. The thing that you resist is, it doesn't talk about the person here. It's talking about
this is the Lord himself.
The higher powers. The there is no power but of God. It's talking about the powers of God. It has nothing to do with the person. It has everything to do with the Lord. Yeah. And I want to highlight that because it's very important.
It's the uniform.
Absolutely. It has everything to do with him. And when you just resist the Lord and those ministers that the Lord's anointing to give you and resist that, you're just resisting the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here. Don't resist them. You're going to resist. It's not going to be good for you.
Right.
You put yourself, and it's not that the Lord's going to come down and destroy you. No, you just get out of his way, and you're free reign for the enemy. I mean, because I know if I left, I mean, for an example, I left, my life would turn upside down so quick. It's not even funny, because I would give free reign to the enemy, and I know this old man.
Me.
What's that?
For myself, I've demonstrated that.
Oh, I've done it myself, too. And every time I walked away and resisted the Lord,
not good.
I almost died a couple of times. It was an ugly thing, and I wouldn't have just died. I would have died and gone to hell, as Paul highlighted some of the times before. And he's not there to destroy me. That's what the enemy does. He's come to give me life and that more abundantly. But fear
he
him,
never...
resist him, fear him. Because, you know, what does it talk about? Don't fear him that can destroy just your body, but both of them can destroy your body.
Put your soul in hell.
Put your soul in hell, both. And go ahead, Paulie.
Just going to say, through all of your struggles, he never withdrew his grace and his mercy. He loved you.
And he kept me through those.
And he kept you through all those periods of indecision and struggle and whatever was going on, because you were his.
Amen. And he kept you, James, through those things.
Amen.
And he kept you, Brad, through those things.
And when I decided to come back, I found forgiveness in open arms, which is a reflection of the Lord. That's exactly the right thing. And it spoke, when you say spoke deeply, that sounds like an English phrase, but I mean, it kind of rattled me, actually. Come back to Rick, needed a place to stay. Come on in. I mean, the guy didn't do this guy right, and I'm smart enough to understand how bad I did him. And what I got was a reflection of the mercy of God.
And he did it with a number of us, and he did it with you, Paul. You might not have gone off, signed off, and left, but there was times where you went in your cave and did not engage in all these things, but yet had mercy on you through those times in the midst. I mean, and the Lord's good. And the Lord's good that way. And praise God. And a lot has to do with people praying for us.
In the midst
of it. Interceding for us in the midst of it. Kind of like Moses did. When Moses interceded for the people, remember, but Lord, what will they say? And he interceded because he goes, I'm going to kill them all. Start with you, Moses. He interceded. And I recognize, I don't know exactly the case. I know people were interceding for me, and I do know if people weren't, it could have been a very different story for me. Very different.
Absolutely.
When Moses went back to the Lord in that instance you were talking about, it goes back to something I was bringing up this morning. He said, well, if you do that, if you knock these people off, then the nations around are going to say you just couldn't keep them, and they're going to doubt your strength, your integrity. And it's a great reassurance to me. Like, the Lord's working in me both to will and to do his good pleasure, and it's his faith and not my faith, and, you know, leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, holds me in his mercies, for they are ever of old, ever consistent, always have been. And, you know, Christ is a redeemer. He's trustworthy, and it's so totally rooted in him and his character.
Amen.
That's something I can rely on.
And absolutely, absolutely. And you can see where... You can see where later on Moses is like, man, Lord, I'm about done. He goes, well, hold on, Moses.
You'll be out of here.
It was the Lord reminding it. I've been more Moses at that time than the other. I have to confess, and that's not a good thing at all. But praise God. But it says in 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? He's talking about the power of God. Nothing to do with the powers of God. The way he set up his anointing. Okay. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good.
Yeah, for good.
For good. For your success. He did not call you to fail, but for your good.
And you really ultimately the determiner of whether it's good or not.
You're not. You're not. Dude.
No, you're not good. But, I mean, what whether you receive it as good or not is your, it's up to you. But it is for your good.
Right. It's for your good. Absolutely. And
that's where you don't want to judge.
Exactly.
The
exactly.
commandment
that's
of the Lord to you.
That's where you don't, like I was using this morning. Well, why use that? No, you don't ask why. If you know in him is light and there's no darkness at all, it's for your good. You don't want to judge. How many people say why a lot of times? Sometimes people want to understand why, but because they want to know. Sometimes it's judgment.
Right.
Well, sometimes it's if you don't know whether you need to know or not, you want to know in case you need to know.
Sometimes you want to know, like I said, sometimes you want to know why before you go forward on or whatever the case may be. But sometimes it's in judgment. Why? Why? You know, you don't, but it's for your good. That's all you need to know. It's for your good. You can trust them. And we should know this by now. I mean, we really should in the sense of really know. And we come into those situations and those challenges that come up where we start questioning those things. Some things are kind of scary in the midst of those things. But all we need to know is in him is light and there's no darkness at all. And it's for your good. And that's something we can trust. We can trust him.
Yeah, his character.
Absolutely. But to the evil, well, thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the same. For he is minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You know what? That's not the side I want to be a part of. And how I get from doing that which is evil is by simply coming to the light and going to him and getting that which the Lord, the good things that the Lord has for me to prevail. But if I just refuse in absolute stubbornness and
right.
just turn away his hand over and time again, I am doing evil with knowledge.
Yeah, that ministry doesn't have to curse you in some fashion to bring that execute judgment upon whatever you're doing. All he has to do is shine the light. And if we won't take heed to it, hey, the judgment behind it's a done deal. You've been shown the light, right? And that's what it says in John,
yeah.
right? That we come to the light. We won't come to the light because we'd rather have the darkness. Or yeah. worse, we come to the light and maintain the darkness.
That coming to light, they, what was that phrase where he goes, because their deeds are evil.
Yeah, their deeds are evil.
They want to keep it that way.
In the darkness.
That's right.
And do my dark little evil deeds.
And understand. I mean, you understand. We all understand that. A lot of times, well, we don't go to the light. We don't want that getting shined upon our heart, but it's for our good. And it's never been to our detriment. It really hasn't. Never been.
I don't see anybody trying to beat me into a dark little corner of submit to everything I say without a question. I'd be lying if I said I hadn't thought that way in times past. But I hope, matured a little bit in the faith, it's that light you're talking about. God is light. The minister brings that light, and then if I, to the degree that I'm willing to step up.
And we're getting to yeah. where we need to wrap.
All right, well, I hope we got out some things that were profitable for folks. Praise the Lord. And
always nice talking to you, James.
Glad to be a part of today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. May the Lord bless.
Goodbye.
All right. Thank you for joining the Hour of Truth. May the Lord bless you. May you have a great week in Jesus' name.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.